Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's Michael Brennan conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, you will have the opportunity to ask questions during the question-and-answer session. Please note this call may be recorded. I will be standing by should you need any assistance. It is now my pleasure to turn today's conference over to Christine Lucius. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, and thank you for joining us today to discuss Michael Brennan, President Trump's extreme right-wing judicial nominee, whose cloture vote is expected to happen this week. My name is Christine Lucius, and I serve as the Executive Vice President of Policy at the Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights. We're joined on this call today by Angela Lang, Executive Director of the Black Leaders Organizing for Communities, Matt Sinovic, Executive Director of Progress Iowa, Annalise Eicher, Program Director of One Wisconsin Now, and Wendy Strout, Wisconsin State Manager of the Human Rights Campaign. 2 weeks ago, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell filed a cloture petition to end debate and force a floor vote on the nomination of Michael Brennan of Wisconsin to a seat on the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals. Mr. Brennan was given a hearing and committee vote earlier this year when Senator Grassley, the chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee, disregarded the objections of a home state senator, Senator Tammy Baldwin. Historically, judicial nominees who lack the support of home state senators do not go forward. McConnell's push to confirm the hard right Brennan, despite the opposition of Senator Baldwin, represents a further dangerous dismantling of checks and balances by Republican leaders during the Trump administration. If he's confirmed, Brennan will be the first appeals court nominee in nearly four decades to be confirmed over the objection of a home state senator. Mr. Brennan himself has previously said that ignoring this custom would be a, quote, purely partisan move. We are witnessing complete hypocrisy. During the Obama presidency, McConnell and Grassley blocked 18 judicial nominees from receiving a hearing or vote. And of course, they refused to give Supreme Court nominee Merrick Garland a hearing or a vote. Now that Mr. Trump is president, Senators McConnell and Grassley have changed the rules. In nominating Brennan, who failed to earn the recommendation of the bipartisan Federal Nominating Commission in Wisconsin, Trump rejected another procedure honored in Wisconsin for decades. It was designed to ensure the selection of judicial nominees respected by both Republicans and Democrats. Why did Mr. Brennan fail to obtain the endorsement of the Wisconsin Bipartisan Commission? Because his record is so extreme. He is a partisan Scott Walker crony who believes judges don't have to follow stare decisis, or the rule of law, and who supported nominees with offensive LGBTQ records for state judgeships. It is especially insulting to demolish checks and balances in favor of a nominee such as Brennan over the objection of home state Senator Senator Baldwin, the first openly gay member elected to the United States Senate. The consequences of Senator Grassley's actions are not confined to Wisconsin or even the Seventh Circuit. Chairman Grassley has scheduled a hearing this Wednesday for a Ninth Circuit nominee in Oregon, Ryan Bounds, who lacks the support of both Oregon senators. Grassley and McConnell are sending a clear and dangerous message that objections from home state senators will no longer be considered for circuit court judges, potentially opening the floodgates for the Trump administration to stack those important appellate courts with far-right loyalists. Given the lifetime span of these positions, the consequences of these nominations will vastly outlast the length of this current administration. At the Leadership Conference, we're joining forces with our partners on the call today and our coalition of more than 200 organizations to defend our courts and our democracy. Together, we're urging the Senate to reject Trump's extreme right-wing nominees like Mr. Brennan and to protect the practice of checks and balances. Now I'll turn it over to Angela Lang, Executive Director of the Black Leaders Organizing for Communities. Angela?
Thank you. As someone that's born and raised in Milwaukee and have lived here my whole life, it's become commonplace to have a direct encounter with the police, like I have myself, or have other interactions with the criminal justice system and being profiled. As you may know, Milwaukee is home to the most incarcerated zip code in the country, 53206, and Wisconsin is the worst place to raise a black child. In a state where we constantly make cuts to education, our priorities or to the school-to-prison pipeline and are shown through these disturbing statistics. When we see an unarmed Black man murdered for sleeping on a park bench by the police outside of a Starbucks in 2014, it is incredibly dangerous to pretend racial bias doesn't exist in the criminal system. It is dangerous and irresponsible to pretend white supremacy hasn't permeated the justice system like it has in every other institution. Fact of the matter is, racial bias exists in the justice system, and there's plenty of data and officer-involved murders on unarmed Black people to prove this. We can't overcome it if our judicial nominees can't even acknowledge it, and judges have tremendous power, and we need to acknowledge the racial implications of every decision they make and how it impacts Black people.
Thanks so much, Angela. Now we'll hear from Matt Sinovic, Executive Director of Progress Iowa.
Thank you so much, and thanks for putting together this call today. It's an extremely important issue, just the fact that our courts are under attack politically, and they're trying to get rid of the independence of the judiciary. And Senator, unfortunately, our my home state senator, Senator Chuck Grassley, as chair of the judiciary, has done more than almost any other senator, perhaps save Mitch McConnell, in politicizing the judiciary process and the nominations process. And this is something that he is now hearing about frequently from constituents. So this is something that has bubbled up to the surface and to the front of people's minds as he travels the state and takes questions when he allows them. But I want to give some of the overview and a little bit of history on Senator Grassley's positions on this issue, which have fluctuated from time to time. So under President Obama, we saw an extreme level of obstruction, of course, with the nomination of Merrick Garland to the Supreme Court being the most notable example. But there was severe obstruction from Senator Grassley when he took over as chair of the judiciary in 2015. I mean, he spent the last 2 years of President Obama's administration making sure that he had a record low number of judges clear through that committee and eventually make it to the bench. Now, when President Trump took office, you heard a lot of stories probably about how President Trump hasn't filled a lot of posts or there's jobs left unfilled throughout the executive branch. And in many cases, that is absolutely true. But there's one big exception. It's in the judiciary. President Trump appointed more judges in the first 200 days than Presidents Obama, or in his first 200 days than Presidents Obama, President Bush, or President Clinton. And he and his staff and his team wanted to stack the bench with as many of their far-right nominees as possible. Now, what they needed, though, was a willing partner in the Senate. And in Senator Grassley, they got it. Senator Grassley has allowed a record number of judges to get through during President Trump's short time in office. And he's done that by chipping away at a lot of the norms and a lot of the policies that he wants espoused support for. Norms like allowing the American Bar Association to give their rating before moving forward on a nominee, or allowing that process to unfold. Norms like not having multiple controversial nominees at one hearing so that senators of both parties could ask questions. He's done that many times over objection from Dianne Feinstein, the ranking member on the committee. Most infamously, and this is where the Brennan nomination is, of course, concerning. He has just completely whittled away the blue slip process, and in many occasions in the past, he has gone out of his way to say that they need to defer to home state senators and support the blue slip process, including op-eds and letters in which he completely complimented Senator Leahy, his predecessor, who applied it to both district and circuit nominees, and saying that he wanted to uphold the blue slip process like his colleague Senator Leahy. Well, now when he has a chance to fast-track nominees, including on the Brennan nomination, he has just put that aside so that he can turn the Judiciary Committee into his own personal political playground. It's really unfortunate that Senator Grassley has ignored every tradition and every process that he once supported in an effort to fast-track all these nominees made by President Trump. Many of them are extreme, at the fringe of what we should expect from a justice or someone on the bench. And Americans deserve far better from the Senate. They deserve far better from our courts. They expect that their senators should act as a check on the presidency, not just merely as a rubber stamp.
Thank you, Matt. Now we'll hear from Annalise Eicher, Program Director of One Wisconsin Now.
Good morning. Thank you. I want to start with the fact that the seat, was open to be filled because Republican Senator Ron Johnson had obstructed consideration of previous nominees since about 2011. It's really troubling that Brennan was chosen despite not being recommended through a traditional bipartisan process that's been used by Wisconsin senators since the 70s, and that his nomination, has essentially been rammed through the Senate Judiciary Committee and now up for, his cloture vote. He is, Michael Brennan, is the wrong nominee for a lifetime court appointment. And this process is wrong. And prior to becoming a Trump nominee, Brennan actually served as the head of Governor Scott Walker's Judicial Commission. Basically, he was responsible for vetting and recommending candidates for our state judicial vacancies here in Wisconsin. And it's because of this that we noted some significant red flags with Brennan. This is an individual who thinks that Rebecca Bradley, with her homophobic writings, antipathy to women who were the victims of date rape, in opposition to legal contraception, was a good fit for the Wisconsin State Supreme Court. Brennan also thought that Daniel Kelly, who had once compared affirmative action to slavery, was highly qualified for the Wisconsin Supreme Court. We count on our courts, and particularly our federal courts, to treat everyone equally before the law, and as somewhere where we can turn to protect our rights and stop government overreaches. And anyone who thinks that individuals with views like Bradley and Kelly are state Supreme Court justice material really has no business being considered for a lifetime appointment to the federal bench.
Thank you, Annalise. Now we'll hear from Wendy Strout, Wisconsin State Manager of the Human Rights Campaign.
Hi, thank you. So the Human Rights Campaign is opposing Brennan's nomination because the Republican leadership of the Senate Judiciary Committee circumvented the blue slip process. And this process should be respected to ensure that judicial nominees reflect the constituencies they are meant to serve, especially, as has been said, by the home state senators. The blue slip process has been typically respected for the past 100 years by the Senate Judiciary Committee. The process has been largely upheld by both Republican and Democratic chairs of the committee because of the value placed on the opinion of the elected senators of nominees' home states. Yet earlier this year, on January 24th, the committee spurned that longstanding policy by holding a hearing on Brennan's nomination without the blue slip from home state Senator Tammy Baldwin. And Senator Baldwin has been a strong advocate on LGBTQ issues, and it concerns us that her voice is clearly being marginalized while exercising a custom afforded every other senator. As stated earlier, it is interesting to note that Brennan himself wrote an editorial endorsing the blue slip process in 2011 after Senator Ron Johnson refused to return his blue slip for President Obama nominee to the Seventh Circuit. Brennan has said himself that bypassing the blue slip process should be a purely partisan move that excluded both Senator Johnson and the millions of citizens who voted for him. The Democratic chair of the committee did not advance the nominee out of respect for Senator Johnson and over 100 years of Senate procedure. The current Republican chair is being extremely hypocritical by ignoring the blue slip tradition and silencing the voice of Senator Baldwin. And we are seeing further failure of bipartisanship and communication between the White House and home state senators. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Wendy. Now we'll open it up for questions. Catherine, can you please provide instructions? For reporters, please note if your question is directed to a specific speaker.
Absolutely. At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touchtone telephone. You may withdraw your question at any time by pressing the pound key. Once again, to ask a question, please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. And we will pause for a moment to allow questions to queue. And we will take our first question from Riley Vetterkind with WISPolitics.com. Your line is now open.
Hi, so I'm wondering if there are any nominees that you guys are supporting instead of Michael Brennan.
This is Annalise from One Wisconsin, and you know, I think the biggest thing for us and this process is not necessarily about a specific nominee other than Brennan, but a nominee that came out of the process with you know, the full support of you know, of the Judicial Commission in Wisconsin. And I do know that there were a few names that commission has forwarded to the White House as, you know, having received approval from that commission. But I think, you know, the biggest thing for us and other advocates is that, you know, the process that we have used for decades, you know, was not respected in regards to Brennan. And I think we would be, one, having a different conversation, and two, maybe not even having this conversation had a nominee been put forward that had received the full support of the full commission.
This is Christine Lucius from the Leadership Conference. We supported someone who went through that process, two different people who went through that process in the last administration. Victoria Norse is one of them, and in the most recent one, we're looking up his name. But I would just want to second the comments made by Annalise. Wisconsin has this long tradition of having this bipartisan merit selection panel. And not only did Mr. Brennan not go through that panel, he was interviewed by the White House before the panel. So the commission did not recommend him, but also the President Trump made clear that he was going around the panel even before this nominee was considered by the commission. And you know, the reason this commission has a 5-vote requirement, a majority requirement, was explained by Senator Ron Johnson himself. He said, and I'm quoting Ron Johnson here, to ensure that the senators would nominate qualified judges rather than candidates who were on either extreme. The senators each selected commissioners and required that any candidate recommended to the senators have the support of at least 5 commissioners. And that's end quote to the Ron Johnson quote. So the point is, even Ron Johnson, when it was 2015, said that nominees had to go through the commission. But that all changed when President Trump was elected, and President Trump disregarded the commission.
And I'll add that the last nominee that had received support from that commission for the Seventh Circuit was Donald Schott. And his name was forwarded at the end of 2016. He had received support from the commission, and unfortunately a vote for him, in addition to a vote for tens of other nominees for courts across the country, was simply not scheduled by Senator Grassley.
One other thing I'll just note is that Gordon Giampietro is another name that is relevant to this conversation, especially with regard to Wisconsin. He was nominated to the district court, and Senator Baldwin has made very clear her opposition to his nomination once it came to light, all sorts of controversial comments and views that he holds that should disqualify him from sitting as a federal judge.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touchtone telephone. We have no further questions at this time, so I will go ahead and turn the call back to our speakers.
Thank you so much, and thank you all for joining us today. We'll be posting audio from today's call later. If you have any questions about this nomination or any other judicial nominations, please reach out to us. We can be reached at press@civilrights.org. Thank you to all my speakers, and thanks to everyone who joined us. Goodbye.